Hey, hey, tech enthusiasts. Welcome to another episode of Tech on Trial. I'm your host, Sal, and I have Victor with me.
Hey Sal, great to be here again. I'm always up for dissecting some tech mysteries.
Oh, here you go. My friend Sherlock Holmes here. Speaking of mysteries, today's episode is all about unraveling the magic of conversations with legal experts. How's it going?
It's good, Sal. I'm glad to be here. Like NLP and AI is my jam, right? So I'm really thrilled to chat about the inherent magic in contract analysis.
So I'm gonna hit you with my initial question because that's usually how it starts. But NLP, it's like our friend Sherlock Holmes of the tech world, eh? So it can unraveling complex contracts, little clauses and details that sometimes we are too tired to miss. And
Was gonna say, yep. You're right, Sal. Depending on how you've trained it, NLP can go right through articles, clauses, right down to individual words and, get really into contract nooks and crannies, right? What it does really well is it's able to identify key terms, key phrases, key passages, and pretty much bring those to the forefront of its context. What that does is it frees up the legal teams, hopefully at your organization or your firm, to focus on much more higher level thinking and strategic thinking, really.
so NLP, it's like our ultimate AI contract detective, leaving lawyers more time, of course, to kind of ponder the mysteries of, anything but contracts, I guess.
Yeah, it's both Sherlock Holmes and Watson. It's both of them.
Great combo, AI, Sherlock, and then Watson, kind of. So, of course, if you save time, you save money. And NLP seems to be saving a lot of both in the legal realm, right? Is that right?
Yep. I mean, what we've seen is NLP basically swoops in like a superhero now. It helps you automate tasks when done right that used to take ages, And legal pros can now respond to business needs much faster. It's sort of like Superman. You're faster than a speeding bullet at this point.
Well, I can only imagine again, like the little AI detective superhero. Super fast.
Yeah.
But well, one thing is like we can perceive the time savings and of course the cost savings and so on. But let's dive into a little bit of ethics as we
Okay.
talk about the risks and everything else. The super detectives and the rock stars have the quicks, the how to tackle the bias and privacy. It's something that people are still asking themselves how to address that properly.
It's a tough question, and it's something that I'm like having been in AI and doing AI since basically it's been known to the regular people in terms of deep learning. What we've seen is biases can really like thwart your efforts to have a good model. So NLP's learnings themselves and AI's learnings are generally all from historical data. And what that means is it can pick up unintentional biases. And those are biases very often that are created from the data set themselves. So imagine that you live in a very homogeneous society where everybody is almost the exact same, like an island where nobody has changed in forever, but you're trying to extrapolate your model to the world. If all of your data is about your island folk and not at all the rest of the world, you're going to map the behaviors of your island people into what you think the rest of the world does, which is probably completely off. So what this ends up being is, because of these biases, it's sort of like letting your tech assistant read your diary. It sort of ends up being a bit too personal and throws off the model generally.
I mean, speaking of privacy, like we talked about that before, but that's one of the main things in discussion, technology-wise, but AI particularly. Like we talked about ChatGPT the other episode and how privacy would play a huge game here. Like people were submitting documents and connecting stuff with it without necessarily knowing how open that thing is.
And I mean, a company like OpenAI started off as a pure academic research thing. So everyone was like nice and friendly with it. It's like, we can submit anything to it. It can read our stuff because you don't expect academics and researchers to be doing like evil things, right? But then the massive investment into OpenAI is for Microsoft's, and they've changed from a nonprofit to a for-profit company. So now you have to at least give it happenstance and think about the fact that, oh, my data, if I submit it through to OpenAI, is probably being used to train whatever they have. So all of my client details, all of the details of this case, things that are very proprietary, like, you know, this patent that should never be seen by anybody else, all those things end up sort of in their data center, which could lead to you being in very big trouble.
Yeah, I guess. Like, I mean, like, everyone online is vulnerable, but you can finesse that. Right? Let's dive into the nitty-gritty a little bit. We all understand how to address that. And like, we're talking here, and eventually, if a AI-powered kind of NLP tool comes across our dialogue and grabs all of the transcription of that, it will understand and it can potentially discuss some of these facts. But the legal language is very specific and rather specific, even to specific geographies. Like, we live in Canada, Ontario, and the other provinces, they have different laws. How's that playing a game on it?
Yeah, it's not just different laws. I mean, even if you look at everything but Quebec and Canada was built off of traditionally British law, and Quebec was built off of French law. And they're different sort of belief systems, or I guess foundations for law. So they're very different. And then you have American law, which is much more British. So it's more similar to Ontario than Quebec is. So you do get these nuances in law. And then, of course, as it evolves, law just changes because, you know, there's people involved and they make decisions about it. So legal language, really, it's just a beast of its own. And it varies across all these jurisdictions. NLP has to be a polyglot to tackle that. And your AI has to really be trained properly to get to a place where it understands all of these jurisdictions, all of these laws, all the precedent, all the things that matter, and then be able to help you with what you're asking of it.
So I think the real challenge for the next couple of developments is going to be training NLP tools to decipher legalese in its confusing glory, I guess.
Basically.
So then, like, that brings us to potentially a good wrap, which are the main takeaways that our audience will benefit from when it comes to NLP and contract analysis.
So I guess, like, the first thing, it's strategic focus. It lets NLP and AI systems let lawyers, or allow lawyers really, to break free from mundane tasks. Like, whether or not you're a billable lawyer or whatever, most people hate redlining documents and hate doing all the research and trying to find needle in the haystack type things. I know most people like to sleep and they don't want to stay overnight, all night, every night, trying to find the one thing in discovery that the complainant or the prosecutor decided to throw in, right? So there's a massive amount of time efficiency. And then obviously, because you have good AI models through us, you have ethical vigilance and adaptability. NLP sort of ends up being the chameleon of tech. It evolves as the legal language landscape changes.
So NLP is not just tech. It's kind of your partner in crime for legal experts.
It is. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll take that as a wrap. And folks, Victor, thanks again for giving us your input and sharing your expertise on it. Don't forget, folks, to subscribe for the next episodes and stay tuned on the next Tech Trial. And yeah, stay tuned.
Thanks for having me, Sal. Have a great week, everybody.
Cheers. Have a good one.